Hello, hello, hello. And we are back again in the Author's Lounge. Once again, my name is Cheryl, and myself and along with Dr. Linda are going to be bringing you the very best in our literary authors. And today we have an exciting show. I've been looking forward to this show for a while. We're doing something a little different. We're going to talk about business as well as work, all those issues that happen with work, as well as all the things you need to do in your business to take yourself to the next level. So we're very excited to be talking today to author Mike Peterson, who is the author of Start Dreaming Again. Later on today, we're going to be talking to author Kayla Stevenson, and she is the author of Monday Mornings, A Cup of Laughter. Before we go any further, we are going to talk and see what's going on with Dr. Linda's mind today. But remember, you can call in at log in at www.fbrn.us. You can call in and speak to our outstanding authors today at 214-556-6239. Dr. Linda, what's on your mind today?
Well, as a new author, I was just talking to you and our guest, Mike. I'm still learning how to use other sources, like, for instance, Fiverr. I bought something called, I don't even know what it's called now. But anyway, I bought it yesterday. And what it does, it hooks up your website, your author website, with other people out there in the world. And there's a name for it, and in a few minutes, our guest is going to tell me what I just said. Something about SEO, something about linking. It has to do with linking. And actually, what it has to do, I think the major word for me, you know, I'm a dinosaur, I would probably like to use the word network.
Ah, yeah.
It's another way of networking and promoting your product and letting the world know that you're out there. So, I'm still learning. I'm a new author, and let me tell you, it is something. There are so many resources and so many ways that you can promote your product, whether it is a book or another creation, a painting. Maybe you collect stamps. Maybe you do cars. But there's something out there digital that can help you showcase what you're doing. So I will admit, I'm still on KG, but I'm getting there.
Hey, we're all learning. We are all learning. I'm fascinated all the time. Hey, y'all, I just learned how to use it. What was I just use? The cloud? What I just use?
Airdrop.
I airdropped for the first time today.
Wow.
I've been seeing it all this time. Did not know how the heck you go about airdropping. And our guest today taught me how to do it. I'm very excited. I will be doing more airdropping.
Writing books, yes, sharing people, yes, with help, yes, how to use their phone, you know, whatever,
yes,
it takes.
Yes, whatever it takes. So, as I mentioned, we are joined in the studio with author Mike Peterson, and I love his title of his book and his cover. It is called Start Dreaming Again.
Thanks.
And we are very happy, Mike, to have you in the studio with us today.
I appreciate it. I'm really honored to be here. You guys have a great show.
Thank you. He told us he's been listening to our show, you all. I'm so excited.
Well, who the heck would be on a radio show and not be listening to the show?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You want to know how to not promote yourself? It's to not even know what you're doing.
Exactly. But we are very excited to have you here today.
No, I'm excited.
And we are very excited to start talking about his awesome book, Start Dreaming Again.
Man, yes.
Dr. Linda.
Yes.
What's in your dreams?
Well, I want to go on vacation this year. Usually, you know, you go through this thing in life when people say when parents start aging out, once you have an illness, a major illness in a family, it changes everything, your social life. So my husband and I used to go a lot. I mean, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Cuba. And then we hit that place where we can't go. So I'm ready to start doing that again. I want to do, Belize. I want to go back to Cuba, but I don't want to go back to Hogan. I want to go to Havana this time.
Oh, cool.
Cuba is beautiful.
That'd be nice.
The thing that got me about Cuba the first time we went is that when we got off the plane, silence. Nobody had a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
No kids were not, they were not hanging out. Now, it's not like that now.
I'm sure.
No, yeah.
You know, they've got a piece of the pie now, so now everybody's acting just like we're acting, but it was so quiet, and it was so beautiful, and it was so peaceful, and the people were so nice. They were really nice.
So I talk about this in the book, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can want to go as much as you want, but you need a why that is bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. People go, and they get on diets, and they decide they're going to stop smoking, or they decide they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and then they don't do it. They quit on themselves left and right.
Mm-hmm.
How much, you know, look at the January is like the biggest month for gyms And it's fantastic because they get all their money right there in January,
yes.
And then the gym is empty from January 15th to the end of the year.
And that is so true because one of the things you used to tell us is like when we'll see all these people in the gym like in January, and they were like, just wait till about March.
That's exactly it.
And that's exactly what happens around March. It's back to the normal crowd again.
So the thing is that your why, the reason that you're doing it, has to be bigger than you. If you want to go on vacation just because you think it'd be fun, that's not going to get you there. What would get you there is, for instance, let's say, there's a woman that I've done some networking with and things. Her husband has some brain problems. I mean, you know, his body's just old and he's had a couple of heart attacks and he's got some brain trauma and things like this. And you know what? She's working her ass off right now because she wants to enjoy the time with him before he can't understand anymore. And you know what? When that why becomes bigger than you, when that why becomes about someone else or something that is more important to you than yourself,
then
you are not going to quit. Nothing
that
will
makes
stop
a lot of sense. Like, and we're going to get more into that, as y'all can guess, because this is about to start dreaming again. He's already got my mind percolating. So just on his opening statement. So before we get more into the book, Mike, give us some background about you and then up until the time you decided you wanted to do take on such a book project such as this.
Yeah, actually, I never even wanted to write a book.
Okay.
In fact,
so you were not one of those people that was like, I always wanted.
Oh, man,
no.
Gosh darn it. You know, I'll tell you. In fact, I don't even think of myself as an author. Now, my wife often points out that the fact that I'm in the middle of writing my second book, my argument keeps getting weaker and weaker. But that doesn't change me from feeling like I'm not an author.
Okay.
The process of writing has never really appealed to me. But ultimately, it kind of came down like this. You know, I've always been I've got a number of different businesses. And I started interviewing people who are even more successful than me. I wanted to talk to the people who had giant incomes, who were playing golf at 2 p.m. I wanted to talk to the people that were the movers, the shakers. And I started, you know, buying coffee, going out to lunch with these folks just to take notes, you know. A lot of these folks are, you know, they're really successful, are willing to chat and share a lot of stuff with you as long as what you're trying to do is learn from them and not trying to pitch them on something like that.
Exactly.
So I started meeting with people, and I started learning about the two secrets in the book, which are leverage
income
and residual income.
Yes.
And what happened was I got super excited about what I was learning because all of these successful people, none of them said that the important thing was how much money they made. None of them said it was what title they had at the company. None of them said it was which company they worked for or who their coworkers were. Every single one of them said the same thing, and every single one of them said it was how they got paid. So I got really excited, and people would say, hey, what's new, Mike? And I would say, oh, you'll never believe what I've been learning. And I would start to just fire hose them about leverage and residual. And what happened was that I had a mentor who said, Mike, you got to stop fire hosing people. And I said, well, I'm not trying to, you know, make them do something. He said, you're not listening to me. You got to stop fire hosing them. And so the book actually
fire
came
hosing.
Out. Yeah, just, you know, verbal diarrhea. You know, I mean, it's the whole spewing everything everywhere, right? So the funny thing was I basically wrote the book because I needed to stop talking about what I was so excited about. And it didn't even start out as a book. It started out as a talk. There's a couple of talks that I give, and I've given them all, you know, a bunch of different places. I said, maybe if I just write a talk, then I'll have relieved that a little bit. And what happened was I write this talk, or I'm getting this talk together, and it keeps getting longer and longer. And I said, well, maybe this is like a, you know, like a community college course, you know, so I started writing a little longer.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I was like, I said, shoot, this has become an entire book. So the book actually came out of the fact that I needed to get it out of my system, and it was too long to fit in any other format.
Okay, because I'm looking at the different things you have in here.
Yeah.
And I found that to be interesting. Hold on a second. We have a call I want to acknowledge right quick. Hello, caller. I don't hear music. Hello?
It's me, Kayla.
Kayla! Okay, I was like, okay.
The Memphis Queen.
The Memphis Queen has called in. Okay. All right.
No.
Yes. I wasn't expecting you for another hour. I thought you didn't get off work until late.
She didn't start.
I do. I do, but people kept calling. They were like, are you sure you're not supposed to be? I'm like, no, I'm just going to call and listen at Mike talk. So
awesome. Well, say hello to Mike. He's listening to you.
Well, hey, Mike. Well, how you doing?
It's going spectacular. You know, you're missing out not being in the studio with these ladies because they're awesome.
I know. No, don't even get me started. you just continue on with your interview. I'm listening.
She is funny. I met Kayla in Memphis at the book festival. She's actually from Memphis. So I was her table neighbor at the what was it, Black Writers and Book Clubs?
Yeah,
a book festival.
Black Writers and Book Club Conference. Cheryl Grace has a movie star name.
Yeah, but she told me I had a movie star.
She's Cheryl Grace.
Mm-hmm. Or an attorney.
How could it be a good attorney name? Mm-hmm.
Somebody about to take you all the way down.
Yeah, baby. Okay. Well, Kayla, I'm so glad you called. So I'm going to finish talking tonight. Will you stay on the phone and keep listening? Cause I'm going to check in with you in a few minutes to see if you have any comments or anything.
Okay.
Awesome. Just hold on. Don't hang up. Okay. So tell me, okay, so this started out as just a personal project for you.
Yeah, it really just started out as a way to vent a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Learning this stuff was just blowing my mind.
Okay.
In my book, you know, I talk about the fact that we were taught to believe that everything we know is true.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught to believe that if we hear something that's different than what we've been taught all our lives, mm-hmm. that it's probably false.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And here's the hard fact. The people that you got this advice from, mm-hmm. how many of them live a lifestyle that you dream of? How many of them are going down to Havana whenever they want?
Okay, you're right.
I don't know anyone.
You sound like Caleb.
See, well, the problem is we've been taking financial advice from broke people all our lives.
Oh, I've heard that before.
I'll agree with you on that.
And so, I mean, we were taught to work an hour, get paid for an hour, work mm-hmm. a week, get paid for a week, mm-hmm. over and over mm-hmm. and over. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you know, forgive the personal philosophy, I don't think God makes junk. And I don't mm-hmm. think we were created mm-hmm. to work and pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
mm-hmm.
like we were made to work and in a way that fulfills us right. and fulfills mm-hmm. our lives mm-hmm. and really lets us shine. Mm-hmm. And that linear income that we've always been taught, mm-hmm. and there's nothing morally wrong with it, but it just doesn't. It doesn't really let you do that.
Because I noticed I was reading the first couple of chapters, and I see, and the first thing that came up to me I hear all the time, which I'm working on, is mindset
Heck
and
yeah.
philosophy. And I had to develop a different mindset through this past year of promoting this book,
mm-hmm.
marketing my book and everything. It's just a whole different mindset. And I had a mentor that helped me through the process of getting the book written and published. But one of the things she ended up telling me was like, okay, you know, you have to change your thinking now to a business perspective
yeah.
of how much this is and how much you're going to charge for this and
oh my gosh,
value.
Yes.
And it is a whole different ball game in terms of looking at things the way the millionaires.
There's nothing that's the same.
So and I'm looking at that.
No one, you don't think the way you do because mm-hmm. somebody tried to cheat you
mm-hmm.
or to keep something secret from you. You do things the way you do, and you think the way you think because
mm-hmm.
it's the best that you were ever taught to think.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that none of those people who loved you, liked you, wanted you to do well,
mm-hmm.
none of them knew mm-hmm. any better advice.
Of course. They can only teach you what they were taught.
You
absolutely.
Teach what you know. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and yeah. that's it. And that was the way we were taught for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
So that was what we did.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we did. And, I mean, it's a different mindset to say all of a sudden now I want to think this way because the first thing people are going to come after you and say, especially if you have a regular 9-to-5, you got a good job. What you talking about?
Yeah.
Because they're not able to think and see that type of you know, see it that way. They don't have that kind of mindset.
A good job. Yeah. I love that phrase. A good job.
Yes, because
what I like to do is I like to go ahead and hand over all the control over when I work and where I work and how much I work and what I do when I work. I love handing that over to somebody else, don't you?
No.
Isn't that always better?
No. I have a friend I talk to her at least maybe once a month, and she was saying she and her husband handle money totally different. And I had to remind her, I said, he handles money the way his family handles
Absolutely.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
may have come from a home where no one discussed money, saving for a rainy day. He may have come from a poor working class where you worked, you paid the bills, you didn't discuss the money. When it came in, it went right back out, and that was the best that you could do.
Yeah.
You kept your family fed. But nobody talked about maybe you need to buy a savings bond, which we call the poor man's, you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, financial
exchange.
Advisors
That's
would
right.
tell you it was crazy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But I said if he never had anyone like that, the reason his credit score is like that is because mm-hmm. probably the parents or his mother, whoever raised him, and they meant well, but that was all they knew. So
yeah.
She said, he's learning from me how to balance a budget.
Yeah.
Because he came from a home where nobody balanced anything.
Oh,
you did
shoot.
What you had to do to survive.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
So some of our money practices come from our parents. And they they were doing the best they could, you know, with what they
the
knew.
The best way you know how to think has brought you to exactly where you are.
Right.
The
right.
crazy part is thinking that the best way that you know how to think is going to take you any farther than where you are right
That's
now.
That's a good point. That's
and if you don't find a way... If you don't find a way to listen to people who think differently than you, who think better than you, or who've made more money by thinking differently
right.
than you, then you really can't go anywhere.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
So I'm looking at this. So over what period of time did you compile this information?
So it took me about 18 months to write it. I mean, I'd been spending a lot of time learning it for a long time.
Okay.
But the reason it took me 18 months was mostly that, you know, again, writing isn't even something that I enjoy a whole
enjoy
lot.
Doing, exactly.
So I would write for a week or two, and then I'd not write for a month or two. And then I'd write for another week or two, and then I'd not write for a month or two.
Okay.
So it took me about 18 months to get through the actual text, and then about 6 months of the publishing process, which is realistically probably pretty quick. I was just self-publishing, and I didn't have – I mean, I listened to Periscope people talking about self-publishing, and I did a lot of reading about self-publishing, and I listened to some podcasts. But ultimately, that voyage of self-publishing, unless you pay somebody to walk you through it, it's still a hairy road, and every voyage is unique, you know.
Tell me.
So, but it's worth it in the end. That process of self-publishing gives you not only that better control over your book, but it also gives you a lot more understanding of exactly what goes into the book
process,
and the process.
Yeah, the process.
And you've got a better idea of how to market it by the time you've managed to finish publishing. So.
This is so cool. And I was looking at this, Be the Monster, Do Mighty Things.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, that's the whole philosophy of being the monster is actually when I had a nephew who was, I was working with him to do his personal training with him. He was working to join the Navy and take his shot at BUDS to become a Navy SEAL.
Okay.
And I would hammer him over and over and over about the don't quit, don't quit, don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming up with this rhyme. I said, a monster doesn't frighten with just a toothy grin. He scares in that he never tires, and thus is sure to win. You think about a nightmare of a monster chasing you, and that monster's running after you, running after you, running after you, and you get closer and closer and closer. What makes him scary isn't that you see him.
Right.
Doesn't matter if he's got scales, horns, teeth, doesn't matter. What matters is that monster never stops. And ultimately, when you're trying to create a lifestyle that's going to change your life and the lifestyle of your kids and generations to come, you can't stop. You just have to become that monster and become something bigger than yourself.
You do.
That is so true.
Change, Mike, is so hard for everybody.
Oh,
change,
my gosh,
because
yeah.
we live in a strange, we're a very different political climate, job insecurity. I don't know what's going to happen to my kids. There's so much going on around them, so much crazy stuff. And for someone to make a change, they start trembling and shaking. It's like, I know what I want to do. I just can't bring myself to do it.
You know, it's one of those reasons that your why has to be bigger than you.
Yes.
Right? Because
yes.
where you are, you've gotten yourself to a point where you have some degree of comfort. You know? And they say that until the pain of change becomes less than the pain of staying the same, you're not going to change.
Right.
That's
it's got to be less painful to change. And the reality is that if you can change your mindset and you can develop a why that... You know, involves, you know, your husband that you want to be able to go to Cuba, for instance, before, I don't know if your husband's actually sick. I'm just using it as an example,
right?
If you can't come up with that why that's bigger than you, then nothing is going to change because inside of yourself, you're already comfortable.
Right.
And
yes.
it doesn't matter how miserable you tell me you are on a day-to-day basis. Here's what I know. If you've been there for a while, you're comfortable with that.
Right.
You know, if you've been working for, you know, if you've been working for the last 10 years and let's say you don't have $500 in the bank, here's what I tell you. I tell you that apparently you're comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're going to tell me that you're working at a good job and that good job's going to get you ahead and you don't have $500 in the bank and you tell me that system's working for you,
right?
I'm just, you know.
And again, it's about that mindset.
But like it has said, to. It starts with a mindset. Nothing will happen unless that mindset changes. And it's one of those reasons that you've got to develop that rock solid why. And you've got to develop a why that's bigger than you. Because without that, you will never drag yourself to the gym by January 30th. You will never stay off the tobacco for, you know, 2 months. You will never drop those 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 5 pounds. It won't matter. You will never start running every day, you know?
This is interesting. This is really good. So you compile this information, okay, let's say about the 18 months.
Yeah.
And then you decided that, I mean, what was the, I guess, the catalyst for you to say, I need to share this with others?
So it really was, it was the whole starting to compile it into content, that was really the whole, I got to stop fire hosing people, you know? Mm-hmm. I got to stop just telling people how excited I am about this stuff and instead create a book. So if I say, wow, you wouldn't believe what I've been learning, why don't you just go read it in my book if you're actually interested?
Mm-hmm. Now, that makes a lot of sense because I've listened to sales presentations before, sure. I guess, where I have been fire hosed.
Sure.
I know it was a term for it, but
I guess. Well, and I wasn't even trying to sell people on anything, right? I mean, it was just the being excited.
Yes.
And the reality is, most people aren't ready for this.
Right.
Most people aren't ready to change their lives. Mm-hmm. If they were ready to change their lives, they'd be changing lives.
They'd be doing
something
about it.
They'd have goals. Mm-hmm. They would have already been doing it, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because in a lot of ways, I've had a lot of people that were already on a path to success that, mm-hmm. that were really interested in my book, and mm-hmm. Which surprised me mm-hmm. at first. But it's funny because the target market, which is essentially the people that have never even had this information mm-hmm. revealed to them, mm-hmm. is almost the definition of the worst possible target market I could have, because the people that most need this book probably have very little interest in actually changing anything.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, it's not look, you don't, I mean, we all know, I mean, every author knows you do not get rich writing a book.
No.
It doesn't happen. In fact, the number one factor in how much money a book makes you is how many other books you've already written.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, because
you say the second one, I always mm-hmm. have to sell the first one.
Oh, yeah. It's the wider net you can cast, the better, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that, especially being my first book and being a book that has a target audience that's already primed not to listen, it, you know, I never expected to make a lot of money off of it. But the, my second book will probably do a little bit better, partly because it's my second book, right?
Right, right.
But the it's on the business networking, which people who are doing business networking are already excited about information,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So the I didn't write the book because I wanted to become rich. I didn't write the book because I was mm-hmm. trying to become a household name. I wrote mm-hmm. the book because I needed to just shut up.
Okay. Well, this is a helpful tool for you. You know,
it allows
you to you can shut up, but at the same time, you can say, well, if you want more information, here
it's
you go.
True. It's true.
That's something that's tangible. They can take home.
Was it therapeutic for mm-hmm. you? Was this therapeutic?
So what's interesting is, no, it was really a horrible thing to have to write. But I will tell you what's fascinating, and the thing that blew me away was that I got done, and I was about halfway through the publishing process, in fact, when I finally realized, holy crap, this is the book I wish somebody had handed me
that's right.
years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish somebody had given me this. It was mm-hmm. the book that I needed to Thank have you. Heard. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, mm-hmm. it was kind of therapeutic. And it's funny because, you know, I'll reread the book or I'll reread sections, and I'll be like, wow. It's really good. Who wrote that? And I'll be like, oh, shoot, that's my book.
Yeah, I do that too. I'll be like, I wrote this.
I mean, I'll tell you, you know, when you write a book, the thing that took me.
It's you. Uh-huh. It's you. Uh-huh.
It took me a good 6 to 9 uh-huh. months after the book was out uh-huh. to recognize the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was one of those things where, I mean, I had all the proofs, copies yes, that I've been yes, doing, the like, editing yes, and everything else like that. But here's the thing, is that you write this book and then you finally get copies in the mail, you know, like your author proofs or things like this. And you open it up and you go, no, somebody put my book inside of a book. Who copied my? Wait, this is the copy I bought for myself. This is my book. It's okay. I wrote a book.
Let me ask you this. How did you collect your information, and did you use a writing program to speed it up? What did you do to get all? This is a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
it
yeah,
is. That's what I'm looking at.
And how did you organize it in a way? Because you have your ideas, you've had them probably all your life, and then you learn.
Right.
How do you put this in some kind of order so that it makes sense? Did you use like a program?
So I started out by outlining the book.
Okay.
And I actually just outlined it. I think I even outlined it in Word, and then I used the Word template from createspace.com.
Okay.
Which I know you guys have heard on the show mm-hmm. before. For folks who tuning in or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's owned
Repeat that again.
CreateSpace.com.
Okay.
So it's owned by Amazon, and the big strength is that they'll give you templates for your book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They'll give you all of the, you know, the internal stuff that you need to put in there. Mm-hmm. They can even help you. They have a free cover designer, or you can pay somebody to do your editing through them.
Okay.
I didn't do any of that. I didn't pay anyone at CreateSpace anything except for the actual copies that I bought in the end.
Gotcha. Okay.
But CreateSpace gave me an internal template. And from there, I basically started filling it in off of my outline. That was probably the worst process I could have done. With the second book, mm-hmm. I actually, instead of outlining it, I mind mapped it. and mind mapping software has saved me so much hassle on the writing.
I've seen that too.
Mind mapping, I will never go back. There's no question.
Really?
I will never go back to outlining.
Now tell us why.
So a mind map is a lot like an outline, but it's more like a visual outline, right? So it's got, you know, I've got networking book in the middle of this mind map. Mm-hmm. And then I have, you know, these the different parts splintering off. And then each part has its own little legs. It's like a hierarchy chart that you see from a company, right? I mean, that's really what it looks like.
So is that a software that you purchase?
There's a lot of mind map software out there that you can get. Yeah. And there's some that are free. There's some that are that cost a little bit.
Okay.
I used one that was on my iPhone and on my iPad. In fact, this book, this second book, I've written so far entirely on my phone or on my iPad.
Ricky did the same thing.
About 90% of my mind mapping was actually done on my phone.
Okay.
The reality is that mind mapping, what it does for you is that you can export as an outline, no problem. Mm-hmm. But even when I'm doing the writing for this second book and I'm going back and I'm like, what's my next section, things like that, I'm still leaving it in that mind map view because I can see all of the information chunked. And the problem when you're writing a book is if you write an outline is that it's one long string of words.
Yes.
A long string of sentences. And you can go and you can be like, I think it's this far down or it's that far down. And the problem is especially when you get in a couple levels, you don't remember where the heck you are anymore. And that mind mapping keeps it all really tight and really clear. And
that's what I need.
The other best
thing. We use that in public school. I'm a retired teacher. We use that in public school to teach kids how to write.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
Same sort of thing. Same tree.
It's a tree structure. Yeah. It's a tree structure and the maps.
So the cool thing about the mind mapping, too, is that when you need to move something, it's super simple to move.
Okay.
Because you say, oh, no, this needs to come out of the business card section and go into that section on one-to-ones, you know, when I'm meeting with people.
Shoot, I'll be looking at a mind map.
Oh, man. I'll show you.
Please,
what
I need some recommendations, please.
Yeah, actually, I'll look up which software
please,
is that I use.
And let me know,
because
I would be interested in doing that, because right now I'm trying to do the old-fashioned outlining.
So the software that I use on my iPhone and on my iPad is a program called MindNode.
MindNode.
And that's been fantastic. For the writing itself, because I already had the mind map done, and I wanted to keep it with the mind map, I'm using a program called IA Writer. And IA Writer is one of the top writing programs on on iOS. And in fact, if you go and you look on websites, you know, what's the best writing one? It's always on every single person's list. Some of the others come and go, but IA Writer is always on somebody's top five list.
Okay, now you listed
IA Writer.
IA Writer. And it's fantastic because it's super simple, it's super empty. But the thing that I wanted for it was that, one, it'll let you use Markdown. And Markdown is... your file is still text, but there's a couple little symbol cues you can use to kind of like prepare your formatting.
Okay.
So I can use a single hashtag sign in front of a line, and that becomes header one. It becomes a title, right? Like a chapter title.
Okay.
And I can use two to make it a header two, like a subsection kind of thing.
And it's called Mind. Now, the first one you said
Mind Node.
N-O-D-E?
Yeah.
N-O-D-E. Like never?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
MindNode.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I used for the mind mapping. But IA Writer, so lets me use the Markdown, which I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that it let me go ahead and it syncs the writing as I write with my Dropbox. It can do it either over iCloud or with Dropbox. And the best thing about that is that then I can literally stop on one device and immediately pick it up on another, including if I want on my desktop because I'm syncing it through Dropbox.
Okay.
And I just open it, and it's just a text file. And even if I have to just look at it as raw text, I can still read it. If you had to open a Word file without Word, it looks like garbledygook. It's like a trash can.
Yeah, it does.
And so
I've done that before,
Markdown
too.
Markdown lets you go ahead and still have a readable file.
Okay.
And then you can export it or whatever else, however you want later.
And which one is that?
IA Writer.
Oh, IA Writer does all that.
Okay. Lets me do the Markdown. Right. There's a lot of apps that'll let you do Markdown for the
writing. Interesting. I'm just learning all kinds of information from Mike today.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me explain to our guests that you are going to be giving away a copy of Start Dreaming Again.
That's right. Can't give away a copy of the book I haven't written.
Yes, right. So he's going to be giving away a copy of this to a lucky caller, listener. But, you know, you got to call in and let us know that
you're
listening.
Well, and they got to call in with the right answer, too. Hold on.
Okay, so we have an answer.
I need my copy back from Dr. Linda because it's got my question in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I remember which one it was.
I saw it.
So don't read the whole thing. So
I would
it's
not
the,
read it.
It's, yeah. So, yes,
it.
It's the birds.
I had it for the minute.
There you go.
Oh, no,
so here's the trivia question. You got to call in with the right answer to get a copy of the book. And the
so,
question is, three birds were sitting on a wire.
But let me remind them of the call-in number first,
right.
In case they're not, you know. So, okay. Again, he's going to give you a trivia question. So, the question, the number that you're going to call is 214-556-6239. Again, 214-556-6239. And again, Mike Peterson is going to be giving you a copy of his book. If you could finish, well, answer correctly.
Yeah, got to answer correctly.
This trivia question.
Answer correctly.
Mike is on you.
All right, so here's a heavy math question for you, right?
It's heavy.
So, three birds are sitting on a wire. Two of them decided to fly away. How many birds were left? Or how many birds remained on the wire? There's no trick wording here. Three birds were sitting on the wire.
Yes.
Two of them decided to fly away.
Uh-huh.
How many were left? And if you can call in with the right number of birds that were sitting on the wire, again, three were sitting there. Two of them decided to fly away. So how many were left? If you call in with the right number, then I'll sign a copy of the book and I'll send it out.
Okay, wow. You all heard it, folks. I got the answer wrong. 214-556-6239.
That's right.
So please call in with the right answer today before he leaves.
Well, that's kind of important, I suppose.
That would be, you know, the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, with that in mind, we're going to move on. Okay, so I want to know, is there anything in particular that, how I want to word this, that you... When reading this, that mm-hmm. just really resonated with you more than anything else, that you was like, okay, this was the part for me that I really had to get, and I really want to make sure that I write this in a way that...
You know, there was one spot that, mm-hmm. that inspired the geek in me. You know how you get on the internet and you're like, oh, these people are wrong, and, you know. There was one little chunk in there that I really wanted to make a point to put in, which was the section on the law of attraction.
I saw that.
Yeah. So the law of attraction, most of the time you hear it described as basically this thing where you send out these thought vibrations of what you want and the mm-hmm. universe responds.
No, okay.
It's not exactly that simple. There's some work mm-hmm. involved. But mm-hmm. basically it's this whole, you send out the thought vibrations and the universe seems to respond.
Someone is calling.
Oh. And, sorry, you wanted to catch that first then, or you want me to finish real quick? Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello. This is the Author's Lounge. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Indiana Toko. How are you?
Oh, good.
Indiana, yes.
Thank you for calling, Indiana.
Yes.
You're welcome. I'm listening to Mike, and I want to answer that trivia.
All right.
Hey, how many birds were left sitting on that wire?
Three.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So for everyone else that just went, what the heck? How are three birds sitting on that wire? Let's talk about this real fast, okay? So three birds are sitting on the wire, and two of them decided to fly away. So how many birds are left? And, of course, the answer is three, mm-hmm. because decisions uh-huh. don't change your life.
That's
actions
true.
Do.
That's right.
No, absolutely. Indiana, we got to get your address. What's the best way for us to get the address from her?
Indiana, can you inbox us online right quick? Are you on our Facebook page?
I am on your Facebook page. I was listening online. Okay. I'm at work, so I was listening online.
This is Kayla's friend.
This is Kayla's friend. Yeah. But if you would inbox me right quick your address so he'll know how to send it, so he can get that out in the mail to you.
Where do I see it online at?
Oh, I thought you liked our Facebook page. Let me see.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't. I'm not making a mistake.
Let me see. I thought you were there.
Oh, you can inbox me. Because I think you and I have chatted on Messenger before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is that, Linda?
With Linda and Cheryl Grace. Yeah. I think you're friends with both of us on Facebook.
Yeah, uh-huh. Either one.
So either one of us, and we'll get it to him before he leaves, so he can get that out to mm-hmm. me.
Easy peasy. I've got him right here next to me.
Yeah, he has them right here, so he'll send them right out.
You know what's amazing? We have met so many amazing people. Where were these people 3 years ago before I published? Mike even has a quote in his book, and Confucius says the same thing Cheryl and I talk about every week. You're so ignorant when you do it. You have the manuscript, but you don't even know what you don't know.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And you
exactly.
pay for not knowing. You
yes.
pay.
You do.
I have paid.
You don't realize it, but you do. I mean,
you do.
People say, "Oh, I didn't." You know, watching TV or watching YouTube doesn't cost me anything. And you know what? It costs you a heck of a lot because it costs you what you could have done.
It sure does. You're 100% correct. So, Indiana, we are very much anticipating your appearance on our show, but you know, we couldn't get you a spot this year.
I can't wait to.
But we're going to get you one as soon as we can. You never know. Somebody might cancel.
That's
so you
true.
Never
That's
know.
True.
You never I know.
I'm not praying that they cancel, but I do have it on the show. So.
But
I don't know how I'm going to word that prayer, but I'm going to get it in. <'cause I'm canceling. laughs>
Please do, please do. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other comments or questions about the show since we have you on the air?
Want to ask Mike a question about all this good information he's giving us?
I'm really enjoying his talk regarding the leveraged income and the residual income. So I wanted to know the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But so did you find that in his research?
No, yeah, absolutely. So there's actually a very clear distinction between the two of them. So leverage is what your boss does to you. In short. So leverage is where you have multiple hands that aren't your own, and they're all working a system that mm-hmm. makes you money. So, you know, the guy that owns a Subway, you know, sandwich shop isn't necessarily behind that line making sandwiches, but he's still making money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the it's we're not talking about, you know, exploiting employees. I mean, we should be really mm-hmm. clear that there's mm-hmm. nothing in leverage or residual that really has to do with exploiting people.
Right.
And there's nothing morally wrong with paying somebody leverage income or linear income. I mean, it kind of comes down to, you know, you can't pay somebody leverage when mm-hmm. they don't have somebody working underneath them, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But leverage income is where you have multiple hands all working a system that makes you money.
Mm-hmm.
Residual is so actually, let me back up. Leverage is like a multiplier, right? So the more hands, in fact, John Paul Getty was the first billionaire in the world, mm-hmm. and he was famous for saying, I would rather have 1% of 100 people's efforts than 100% of my own.
That's what
and
he
that
said. That's
is
true.
Leverage mm-hmm. right there. That's mm-hmm. what leverage is. Mm-hmm. So leverage is finding a way to get other people's efforts helping increase your income flow.
Mm-hmm.
And residual is where you do something one time and make money from it and get paid over and over and mm-hmm. over and over again. So the most common example of this that mm-hmm. we know of is like royalties,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, Michael Jackson was mm-hmm. actually the highest earning mm-hmm. musician last year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. That's
Michael
right.
Jackson.
That's right.
I mean, he didn't exactly record a new single.
Nope.
And, you know, nope. But he was the highest grossing.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that a residual requires that, one, no further effort is required on your part, and mm-hmm. two, our best examples of residual are going to be something where you gain income regardless of how the economy is doing or what people think from month to month
mm-hmm.
or whether people decide, oh, well, this month I will or this month I won't. Your best residual is when things just roll. And so between the two of them, you know, leverage is a multiplier and residual is kind of an exponent.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
We need some cash flow,
We
baby.
Need some cash flow, some the residual. Flow.
Yeah. Well, and ideally you want them both.
Want
right?
them both, exactly.
If
yeah.
you can, if you can, if there, if, I mean, the... There's something I do that lets me build residual
mm-hmm.
off of a leveraged income,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A true residual, and it's, you know, and I can leverage that across mm-hmm. a team that, and let me tell you right now, I'm mm-hmm. sitting here talking and I'm still getting paid.
Still getting paid. Exactly.
Tonight I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to still be getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
If I fly to Havana tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I'm still going to be getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when you can disconnect the way that you earn money
mm-hmm.
from the time that you spend earning money,
mm-hmm.
that's when all of a sudden you'll have that time and money freedom together.
Right.
If you can't disconnect those, you will never be free for both time freedom and money freedom at the same time. It just
okay.
can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, if somebody pays you a lot, you know, with mm-hmm. linear income, right? Let's say you get paid $1,000
mm-hmm.
an hour. How many hours a day can you work? Right. Let's say you don't even need
yeah.
to sleep.
Right.
Let's say you don't need to eat, sleep, or anything else. You still only have 24 hours, right?
Right. Right.
So let's say somebody hires, you know, raises your pay, and now you're getting, you know, $10,000
mm-hmm.
an hour. It doesn't change the fact that your total ability to earn is still, you know, really limited.
We just got Indiana's address.
Oh, we'll
so
totally get that out.
Get the book to her.
Uh huh. Actually,
we got it, Indiana. We got it.
So
yes,
let me take a picture of that, and then I can give you your phone back, and
mm-hmm.
I can.
Okay.
There we go. Then I can fill it out here as soon as we're done.
Okay.
Linear is what you've been doing your entire life. That's what everyone taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that loved you and liked you and wanted you to do well all taught you
how to work for someone else
your
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm.
I should point out that the reality is that most business owners are still working under linear income. Most business owners aren't making any money unless they go in. You know, a lot of the times people own a business, but the reality is that that's a job that they own.
That they actually own. Okay.
Instead of
it
being something
that's, evidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, that can be great because
mm-hmm.
you do get a lot more freedom. But the reality is still mm-hmm. that you've got a boss and that boss is called your customer
mm-hmm.
or that boss is called your supply line
mm-hmm.
or that boss is called whatever. And until you can really disconnect all of your income stream
right.
from that, then you're still working a linear job.
Okay.
You can get paid a lot, but you're still working a living
income.
Still
working in your job. Okay. Huh. Very interesting.
Did that answer your question, Indiana? Do we still have
Absolutely.
Her?
Okay, good.
Awesome. This is awesome.
Mike, what you told us one thing you would not do every time you do. Everyone has said this when they come in.
Yeah.
You learned some big lessons with the first publication, first one.
Yes.
Give us two or three things you know you will not do on the next go-round that you learned from doing that first this first book.
So I will definitely self-publish again. Absolutely. Okay. I'm never going to... Okay. You will never see my... If there's a publishing icon on the back of my book, mm-hmm. it's because I own that publishing company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'll never see me give somebody else a share of my book.
Okay.
The other one is that I will definitely never outline again. I will only
okay.
mind map.
You would
there's,
do the mind
there's
map.
There's just
only.
No
okay.
excuse. And so those are definitely the two biggest ones mm-hmm. That are coming off the top of my head. I know what else I would do. So, doing some research when I wrote this, mm-hmm. if you have your book professionally edited, a professionally edited mm-hmm. manuscript tends to earn or tends to gross 30% more
yeah.
than a manuscript that's not professionally edited.
I can believe that.
And I did that with this one, and mm-hmm. it showed. And I've got some friends mm-hmm. that have books, and you can tell.
You can tell.
Yes.
You can tell. Did they have a beta reader?
Yes.
Did they have a final proofreading?
Right.
You
yes.
know, line. You know.
Yes.
So the. I would absolutely make sure that I use the professional editor again. Mm-hmm. And the other one is that if you get a professionally done cover, your book mm-hmm. will gross 50% more
yes.
on average.
Yes,
and I did that with
that.
This one. Mm-hmm. I mean, you ladies, obviously mm-hmm. already
we
commented
love the
on
cover.
It.
Mm-hmm.
The it was absolutely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I have done a bunch of graphic design mm-hmm. With some of my other companies. That's been I've been the graphic designer mm-hmm. for some of my other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead. And to be fair. This the cover was probably more than 50% of what I spent total mm-hmm. on publishing this book,
mm-hmm.
but it was worth every single.
Well,
penny.
Yeah, because the cover,
catchy.
Someone the first
That's
thing
it.
They're gonna do is the cover is gonna draw
That's
you
it.
First before mm-hmm. you even think to open up the inside.
Yeah.
The cover is what's gonna draw you first.
Now, to
and
be
so
fair,
a lot of people don't think about like
your
that,
graphic designer
true.
Can only do as well as the tools you give him too.
Okay,
so
That's
I
true.
Sat down with my graphic designer
mm-hmm.
before. He started giving me proofs.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down with him, and I was telling you ladies this before.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed a dozen or two
mm-hmm.
dozen
mm-hmm.
personal
mm-hmm.
development books
mm-hmm.
and self help books and
mm-hmm.
things like that off of my shelf, and I said, okay. He and I sat mm-hmm. there, and I said, here's what I think. This one, just at a glance, forget what the content was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this book looks cheap. This book looks
mm-hmm.
expensive.
Mm-hmm.
This book looks cheap. This
mm-hmm.
book looks expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And every single book that had a photo on the cover went into our cheap pile.
Yeah,
every
and I've heard
one.
That from other people about the. Yeah, I've heard that
so
from other people.
I would definitely not put a photo on my
a
cover.
Photo, yeah,
but I would.
About
but
that.
You definitely got to sit down with your graphic designer and talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my graphic designer would actually sit there sometimes, and I'd say, "Oh, I apologize. I know I'm, asking you for this little change,
mm-hmm,
and you haven't
mm-hmm,
gotten
mm-hmm.
me the proof yet." And I said, "I'm probably going to be your worst customer." He says, "No." He said, "This one lady made me redo this image that she had me draw by hand already." Over a dozen times.
Okay. Wow.
You got to be nice to these folks. These folks
yeah,
are
do.
Working just as hard as you.
Well, and I guess he's going to have probably set some boundaries. Like my cover design, she told you only get 3 revisions.
Well, by the time I was done,
mm-hmm.
he actually fired the client. He had been
okay.
charging her more.
Oh,
he,
my God.
He was telling
okay.
her, he was charging her more for all these extra revisions. And
she still wasn't satisfied.
She redesigned the stink. She wanted things on the cover that had nothing to do with her book. She wanted all sorts of, it was like, look.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Come with an idea of what you want your cover to look like
okay.
in general, what the feeling that you want off of your book,
yeah.
and give them some ideas of things that would make you feel that way.
Okay.
And you know what? If you don't have the absolute best cover that was ever created in the history of man, at least it's going to be a cover that you can appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can appreciate your book, you're going to make sure that you do have a copy with you when you travel. You will make sure that you do, talk to your friends about it. It won't bug you yourself.
Mike, with the information that you have as far as designs, format, and all that, is that part of what you do every day?
No. No.
No.
Not at all. I do a lot of reading. So a lot of that was from there.
Okay.
When I was publishing this book, I spent towards like the last quarter of the actual writing. You know, when if you haven't written your first book yet, here's the gory detail that everyone is going to agree with, but no one wants to tell you, which is that you're going to get 80% done with this book, and then it is going to stall completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to die. Your desire is going to completely go to zero. Your satisfaction in everything that you've done is going to bottom out.
Yeah, I went through that.
You get to 80% done on the manuscript of that book, and all of a sudden you're not going to want to do anything. So here's what you do instead, is you start reading on all of the self-publishing sites what you need to do with the book. Mm-hmm. And so
with me, fear set in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have dread. This dread comes over you like, what am I doing? Why am I even dealing with
who
this?
Who actually wants to read my book? Oh, yeah. My gosh, yeah. You're going to get 80% done with this book, and it is going to and if you don't keep pushing, that project will die on you. But the good news is that instead of trying to push through that wall of fear, you can kind of redirect yourself. So what I did is I started reading a lot of blog posts and listened to podcasts and watched Periscopes of people that were publishing experts and listened to what they were saying, and I just started doing a lot of reading, because the fact is that if you're going to self-publish, you got to become an expert at self-publishing to some degree.
Yes, you do. I agree with that, because there's so many things you're going to have to come up that's common that you're going to have to know about.
Tell us what you know about that. This is the elephant in the room.
Sure.
Marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody, please come buy this little booger. I've got it published. I'm okay, but I need to get it out there. I got to get it out there.
So for me, the biggest relief when it came to the marketing was that I realized what I didn't have to do. What I didn't have to do was become an absolute expert in every form of marketing. Okay. What I realized is that if I wanted to have a book launch party, it didn't have to be in person if I didn't want it to be. I did. I thought it might be fun. I didn't ever put one together.
Okay.
I realized that if I wanted to do a book tour, like a podcast book tour, it didn't have to be when my book launched. You can do blog tours and things like this with your book. And it can be at any time. And you know what? The easiest way to think of your marketing, because realistically, marketing your book is a massive, ginormous task
that
a lot of the times would be handled not by one person at a publishing company, but by a team or teams of people at a publishing company. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to the marketing of your book, here's the thing. Your book is written, and unless your book is about this year and has to be read by everyone this year, you don't actually have a timeline on your book. Especially fiction, right? Most of the authors that come on here are fiction.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter if you know what? If you don't sell more than a dozen copies in your first year, that really doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter one bit.
Right.
You can make a basic, like my website for my book, right? StartDreamingAgainBook.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a basic WordPress site.
Okay.
It's just a WordPress site.
Okay.
WordPress is free.
It is. Uh-huh.
You can make a basic WordPress site, and all it has is a little bit of information. Because realistically, people aren't going to read a bunch of information. They want a little bit of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have more stuff in there in like the media kit than anything else on the site, because ultimately media is the only group of people that's actually going to read more than a little bit. So you just need to do a little bit, and when you do your bits of marketing, just focus on getting them done right. Don't focus on doing all of the marketing all at the same time, because you can't. Even if you made it your full-time job, you can't actually manage every possible media thing that you could do.
Because I'm looking at and I'm looking at your book is so specific in terms of the type of person that it is geared to.
Oh yeah,
everybody is not everyone is not interested in having residual income.
No.
I mean, just some of our minds are just not like
so
that.
So June 20th, this book will have been out for 1 year.
Okay,
and I still haven't paid for a single ad for my book yet.
Okay,
I don't even know how to market to my own target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It doesn't matter, because it's a book.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter. I'm trying to get reviews up on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And once I get about 20 reviews up on Amazon, maybe then I'll start doing some ads.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a great blessing and a curse problem right now, where all of the reviews so far have actually been 5-star reviews. I don't have anything short of a 5-star review
on
my
book.
I don't even know all the people that wrote the reviews.
Yeah, I don't either.
But
yeah,
that doesn't change the fact they're all 5 stars.
All 5 stars.
I got to get a number up there before people just. Before they're willing to believe that those are actual reviews.
Actual number.
So the thing is that with the marketing, you feel like you got to do it fast. You feel like you got to go quick.
Yes.
And here's the reality: you finish the stupid book, and then you're like, "Gosh darn it! I'm so glad I'm not working on that book right now."
Mm-hmm.
Take a couple of weeks and don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not rush your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The worst marketing you can do is the marketing that you rushed and just did poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's so much better if you just go ahead and go slow. Look, you got a book out, even if the book was dated. you have a book that's now out for the rest of your life, especially on something like CreateSpace.
Right.
It's available permanently unless you decide to take it down.
Right, right.
There's no rush. So don't kill yourself.
So
learn how to do it right and go slow.
With that in mind, that's excellent what you're saying. Who in your mind needs this book? So anybody that's listening out there, who in your mind would need this book?
If you're listening to this book and you know that you're meant for something more, if you know that you've got that you're a Ferrari, but you've been driving in rush hour traffic and no one has ever given you that track that just open up, this book shows you how to build that track if you can't find it on your own.
Ah.
And in fact, it also tells you how to evaluate tracks that people say they'll lay out for you. And so if you're sitting there and you know that you're capable of producing a lifestyle for yourself that's going to mean that you and your family, that your kids and your grandkids benefit from what you do right now, and you just don't know exactly how to make that happen, or you're trying to figure out where what are the resources, because the other thing about this book is that it'll tell you right up front. It says, this isn't the end-all, be-all map. This is the map that shows you how to find the things that will get you where you want to go. So if you just need to figure out where that track is, that's what it is.
That is good. Also, let me check in with Indiana. Then we're going to have to go to a break, but this is excellent. I'm enjoying everything. Miss Indiana, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
All right. What do you think about what you're hearing?
I love it. It kind of coincides with the book that I wrote.
Okay.
So me and Mike going to have to talk. We're going to have to collaborate.
Right. All right. That's what we're about, Authors Lounge.
I just really enjoy it. What about for those readers who are kind of stuck, the ones who know they want to do better, but they're kind of stuck trying to find, I guess, their motivation, so to speak.
So that
the thing that's going to make them get up.
Absolutely. So that biggest, that if you know that you want to do it, it'd be one thing if you didn't know whether or not you want to do something big. But if you know what you want to do, the biggest factor that's going to change what you're doing is getting a better mindset and really developing your why. And both of those are right there in the, I think it's the third chapter of my book. First two chapters talk about what we're going to do, and then the third one starts with that mindset. So.
Now, Miss Indiana, we got to take a mandatory break, but you're more than welcome to continue listening in, or if you want to continue hanging on, or just call us back. That's totally up to you, because Kayla is coming in the next hour, so you're more than welcome to call back or to hang on. It's up to you, but we do have to take a quick break.
Okay.
But thank you so much for being with us.
Okay. Hang in there.
All right. And for those who take our commercial break, please call us 214-556-6239. We have been having a very interesting conversation with author Mike Peterson of Start Dreaming Again, and we're going to have our other guest author, Kayla Stevenson, joining us after the break. And you can log on www.fbrn.us.
Feed your dreams.
Feed your dreams. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back.
If you will, and if you can,
Queen Sylvie Show on the Fishbowl Radio Network. Check out the show every Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can hear me keep it real about everything while making a difference promoting comedy and other artistic talents from the Dallas-Fort Worth area and around the world. Don't miss the Queen Sylvie Show. Ahala.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in.
Hey, y'all, check this out. We've made it so easy to listen to our shows, even a child can log in. Now forget about all of those old steps in the past. Just download the free TuneIn app, then search FBRN. That'll put you smack dead in the middle of the fishbowl. Then select whatever bowl you want to listen to, and kapow, you're there. It's so easy when you download the free TuneIn app today.
Memories last a lifetime. Put a fun spin on those memories with Next Episode Photo Booths. Get a complete new setup with photo strips printed right on site. Visit www.nextepisodephotobooths.com or call 972-741-4030. That's 972-741-4030. Be the life of the party with an experience made special with Next Episode Photo Booths. All you have to do with Next Episode Photo Booths is smile for the camera in 3, 2, 1.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness, coated over dark chocolate cake made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake. Voted top 3 cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Lay Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Fishbowl Radio Network. FBRN.US. Jump in.
Right now, we're gonna go way back.
Hello, everyone. We are back in the Author's Lounge after that little break. Hope that you are joining us back again. And remember, please call us at 214-556-6239. You can listen by logging online at www.fbrn.us. I'm very excited because author Kayla Stevenson is going to be joining us the second half of the show. And before we get into her, I want Mike Peterson, who just gave away a copy of his book to our caller and fellow author, Indiana Tuggle, who was able to answer the trivia question. I couldn't answer it, but she has her copy of her book going to be placed in the mail shortly. But before we get it switched over to Kayla. Kayla, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, everybody. Hey, y'all.
Hey. We're excited to have you. Before we get into Kayla's portion of the show, I would like for Mike to tell our listening audience how they can reach him and get a copy of his awesome book.
Oh, yeah. So my book is available on Amazon, both print and mm-hmm. Kindle format. Mm-hmm. The book's website, which has all the links to everything, is startdreamingagainbook.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to email me, you can email me at author@startdreamingagainbook.com. That book is really important. If you go to startdreamingagain.com, it ends up some travel thing. But startdreamingagainbook.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So make sure you get the book in there. And actually, the lady who owns the other one, she lives down in San Antonio, and we have a mutual friend. I keep meaning to contact her and see if I can get the address from her. But startdreamingagainbook.com has all the links, and you can email me at author@startdreamingagainbook.com.
Awesome. And Mike, you're going to be staying with us while we talk to Kayla for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. So I'm very excited because to introduce to you all, I've had a wonderful time with Mike, and he's going to be back a little later before we get off the air. But we're going to transition to this next portion of the Author's Lounge radio show. And remember, today's topic was maximizing success in work and business. So Mike was able to give us a lot of information regarding the business side and really stepping away from work. But now we're going to talk about what happens when you are at work and how to deal with those situations that come up at work. So Mike just stated an interesting fact. How many people are dropping dead of heart attacks before they go to work Monday morning?
Oh, more people die of a heart attack between Sunday night mm-hmm. and Monday morning at 9 a.m. than any other time of the week.
That's right.
Okay, and Kayla mm-hmm. was telling us how many people say they hate their job?
Well, from the poll that I researched a couple of weeks ago, it stated 30% of people were happy about their job, mm-hmm. 52% mm-hmm. said blah, and 18% hated their job. And this was a poll done by Forbes in throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. So it was just really interesting, to read it. And I was like, wow, okay, so there are a lot of people that hate their job.
And that's interesting.
It makes them makes them physically ill.
It does. I agree with that. So
exactly.
Kayla, tell the listening audience, give us a little background about you, and then what brought you to the point of writing this particular book?
Are you a Memphisite? That's what I want to ask.
Yes.
Are you a Memphis person?
Yes, I'm a native Memphis.
Oh, okay.
Tennessean. I was born and raised here in Memphis.
Right.
I'm the daughter to Marie and Willie, and so you often hear me on Facebook
yes.
call my dad the goat and my mom the boss lady.
Yes.
I have a sister, Shannon, and I have three brothers, and born and raised here, graduated in 1988 from Northside High School, and I worked, I was at a company for maybe about 20 years.
Okay.
And I've always had a crazy imagination. I always wrote poems and stuff, and so how this book came to be was it was supposed to be a funny book about these ladies that work together.
Okay.
Well, and so it ventured away from that because I was listening to a lot of people, along with myself, just talk about things that are going on at work. I would hear family, friends, even mom say, oh, you know, I just can't stand those people at work. And then I started dealing with a few things, and what did it was I was coming home from, I was actually going to work, and I was listening to the radio station. This lady, and we had this jackass wall where you can call the radio station and put people on the jackass wall.
Okay.
So this lady said, my coworkers is giving me the blues, and I just got to put them on the jackass wall. And I said, girl, this is what you do. See, you do this, you do that, and you just laugh. And so that's when I started writing. I said, okay, let me get a reason why I need to write this book. And then it just, I lost the transcript, the manuscript to it.
Okay.
Lost it, didn't think about it, and then somebody stole my lunch at work.
Oh.
I said, okay,
I've been there.
Time for me to start writing again.
Okay.
They stole my steak and potatoes.
Major mistake. I've had that mistake.
I went home, you know, you get home from work, and you have yourself a little wine, and you cook your, put your a steak on a grill, and a baked potato, and you don't finish it all. It's got onions and mushrooms and cheese on it, and you take it to work, and I get ready to go to lunch, and my lunch was gone.
Oh, no.
I harassed everybody. I'm like, okay, what are you eating? And it went on for a minute. Somebody was actually stealing people's lunches at work. And so I said, you know what? I got to write about this. And I started working on that book. And actually, y'all, the book should have been out. But I was just afraid to write it. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Nobody's going to know who I am.
No. You touched
everybody.
They
don't think I'm silly.
Mm-mm.
And I just said, the heck with it. I'm just going to step out on faith and just write this book. And it's been great, y'all.
It's funny.
It is so funny. It is so funny. I can relate to
everybody in there that I know about it.
Yes.
Every job.
Yes.
And I've worked on several jobs. It is funny. You didn't miss anybody.
Dr. Linda keeps handing me the book saying, read this part. And then she grabs the book back. She's like, read this part next. And she grabs the book back. Read this part, too. And I'm like, I'm trying not to, like, laugh in the middle of, like, and listen at the same time.
It is too funny.
Mike, I'm going to have to send you a copy of that book. I'm going to have to send you a copy so you can laugh.
We can swap copies.
Y'all can just swap copies.
We'll trade addresses and we'll swap copies. Absolutely.
That's a good idea. Get it.
I got you.
Because, I mean, you know, so many people, you know, have those experiences, and it is the coworkers, and I have had my lunch stolen, and nothing messes up your day than having your lunch stolen, because always the best lunch that you were looking so forward to eating is not, you know, it's never the bowls and dinners, it's always, I'm thinking to myself, who would do this out of my Tupperware, out of my, you don't know where I, who I am, you don't know if I'm clean, why you stole my, you know, girl, it's amazing.
I mean, it could be somebody's hungry,
oh, yeah.
It could be just somebody just low down, and they know you love to eat, so you just take your lunch in the next flow, and throw it away. I mean, you just never know, but these are things that happen at work, and what I wanted to do was let people know, you're not by yourself if things are going on at work, or if you've been a victim of gossip, or you've had a friend, y'all were really good friends, and then they got a promotion, they don't know you no more. And I mean, I try to cover a lot of things, but it's three things I wanted people to understand. You're not by yourself when you say, you know, your coworkers give you the blues. Your mindset is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change a person, but you can kind of change how you react, how you deal.
Amen.
And
yes.
Then the third thing was, humor can solve things sometimes. And that's what I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Can't solve, if you get fired, I don't know. I can't find a humor if you messing up at work and you get fired. So it can't solve things all the time, but if you're dealing with a person that's negative all the time, and they come to work and time they walk in, the lights flickering, and the music stopped, and it started raining.
I know, lightning. I know.
When they leave the room gets brighter.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And music just started back, and put a song that heals our lives with the sound of music, and they come back on, and life is good. So it's all how you deal with it. I mean, maybe they so used to being, you know, being confronted with negativity, they don't know how to be positive.
They don't know.
Shock a person. Say good morning. Mm-hmm. Say hey. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what I was trying to, the message that I was trying to get in writing this book.
And I can tell you, Caleb makes the best out of any situation, because I had to, like I told you, I had a chance to meet, when I met Caleb in Memphis, we were table neighbors, and neither one of us sold books. Like, we had to make the best of the situation.
Oh, no.
These folks was passing by us like going to those best-selling authors, and we just sitting there like, Okay. Is anybody going to stop even talk to us? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I know she knows how to make the best out of a situation, because we just started laughing and talking. And, I mean, we were like, okay, if nothing else came out of Memphis, the purpose of us meeting each other, I believe that was the case. That was worth it. And, I mean, that's what it's about when you go to things.
You
have to keep the humor in it. And I was laughing because I was reading a poem you wrote about the thief. In chapter 6.
I meant it from my heart. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And I'm like, they call it the Grinch. Yeah, really.
And you don't care who's looking.
So that is so funny. So tell me, I guess, a little bit about, you said you had put it aside when you thought about writing about it. At what point did you just think, okay, I'm going to just go on and write this and actually seek to actually get this published? Because a lot of times people think about, okay, what people are going to think, you know, my coworkers might get mad. You already say some people have asked you, have the chapters been about you. How did you get past all of that? To just go on and say, you know what, I'm just going and write it and be done with it.
I got tired of thinking about it, dreaming about it. It got to a point I would just find myself scribbling. And people started asking me, okay, when are you going to write this book? What are you scared of? Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
that's the point that Mike,
I don't know. I said, I'm new. And, you know, and it got to the point where I didn't care if 10 people bought their book and 2 people laughed behind it, then I'm okay. Because it's not always about the money all the time.
Yes.
It's just about venturing out and doing something different and new.
Yes.
And I started writing and publishing this book at a later age. I wish I would have did it, but about also having this support system too.
It wasn't time, Kayla. It wasn't time. You did
it
when you were supposed to do it. Supposed to do it. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I felt the same
way. You know, the other thing I learned you get nervous, right? Who's going to hate this?
Yes. I know I did.
What I found is that less than 10% of the people that have bought my book have actually read farther than maybe the first or second chapter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to read it anyhow.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they don't like it.
Right. Because
they're not going to read it. And the ones that do read it and don't like it probably aren't putting reviews up anyhow.
Right?
Right.
That's true.
It really doesn't matter.
That's true. That is so true. And I thought about that. I was like, and I had to get to a point where I was like, you know what? Everybody's not going to like it. So if they don't, that's cool. It's not for everybody. You have to kind of get past those little idiosyncrasies, those little mind blocks to just go on and say, hey, you know what? This is the way I'm seeing the project. This is the way I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go forth and do it. And that's the idea you have to come to. And I think a lot of people get stuck at worrying about if people are going to like it, you know, when they don't go any further.
Yep.
I've heard so many people tell me
that. You can't worry about anything. And that's why in chapter 20, I write it's called From the Author's Pen, and it's about just stepping out. It's about, if I sit up here and keep saying, well, you know, I've always wanted to do this, I've always wanted to do that, 20 years go by, then I got to get mad at myself.
You never know what
you can do unless you just
regret.
This is awesome. Mm-hmm. This is really good. So tell me, is there any particular chapter that that's your favorite? Or chapters, that's your favorite.
You know what?
The gossipers.
The dirty bee.
Kayla, excuse me, I'm interrupting. And you know I know better, I'm a retired teacher. I like the part about those three types of gossipers. That was too funny.
That was funny.
The first section she handed me.
Yeah.
You know what? That's one of my favorite. Which one do you like, Linda? Which one is your favorite? Out of all the gossipers.
I got to get the book back from Mike. But listen. I worked with a teacher once.
She gives it to me and then takes it back.
I worked with a teacher once. And we both taught special ed, and we had both been teaching for years. But she was that. Have you ever had that coworker, whether she's a teacher or not? No matter what you say, she would always say these four words to me, and it would drive me nuts because to me it's like a telltale thing about people. Oh, you poor thing.
I know.
I can't stand that. I can't stand that. What does that come from? No matter what you say, oh, you poor thing. I kept saying, what poor is she talking thing. About? Oh, you poor thing. What? Why does every conversation have to turn into doom and gloom? I keep saying, is she? Oh, you poor
thing. You sure know what to say. And this happened, don't tell nobody gossip. He'd be like, shh.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell nobody.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'll tell you, though, she's not in Cuba.
Ah, yes.
I know. That's her dream vacation.
Yeah, I'm going back. I want to go back. But this time I'll go to Havana. But I cannot. I think you touched on everybody
that
we know about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know maybe in high school that maybe you might be able to do this? Was that even on your mind? Was this the furthest thing from your mind in high school? Were you a writer?
You know what? Yes. In high school, mm-hmm. I just came across some. I was in a writing club in high school, and we would write poems, and there was like this newspaper that they had, and you got a chance to contribute things to the newspaper. So I would just write some poems about Black history or some Valentine's Day, and they would get put in the newspaper. So early on, my mom said, okay, you got a talent. And my grandmother, rest in peace, Ethel, and Clara, both my grandmothers. Ethel, I used to write her poems, and I put it in a little book with construction paper and everything, and I used to write her poems, and like if my mama told me to wash dishes, I would write a poem about washing dishes. I'd be like, this woman got me washing dishes on a Saturday, and it would all rhyme and stuff, and it was just hilarious. And my mom was like, are you trying to tell me something? I'm like, no, why are you going to grandma? But I was really serious about it. If I would make up little stories to my sister about Pippi Longstocking and just all types of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had at that age as a child, I had just a vivid imagination, and I still do, y'all.
And see, that was getting you ready for this. That was prep time. That was, you didn't even know you were prepping for this. Now you do, but you didn't then. Isn't that something?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think it's in us all the time, and it comes out when it's time for it to come out. You can't sit on it. It'll drive you nuts until you do it. Yeah, yeah.
I have found so many half-written manuscripts in boxes that I'm in characters and names that I'm pulling out and say, oh, my God, I think I was like 24. I must have been mad at some guy. And so it seems like a lot of times I'd be mad at some man. I'd be writing all types of stuff. And so I'm pulling a lot of it out and putting it in the book I'm working on now.
Okay.
And it's just really, really interesting that, you know, poems and stuff I've been writing. And I wrote a poem about a caterpillar that sooner or later we all going to turn into butterflies because I love butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
And I like unicorns too, y'all. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Wow, guys out there listening, make sure you're careful when you date a writer or a musician because you might be that odd subject in that book or that poem or whatever later on.
Yeah, like,
that is very true.
You know what? He is telling the truth.
Yes. Because I said in one of my books, one of the situations that I went through, I knew it would be in the book.
Treat those writers nice, ladies.
Ah.
That's right.
Tell them, warn them. All you can do is warn them, you know. That's all you can do is warn them.
Yeah, but the best thinking they know how to do is only gotten them where they are. So, they, you know.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you know. Yeah, they're the best thing. They need to think about something else. They start thinking differently, Mike, okay?
Exactly.
Has your personal life changed with the people at your place of employment since this book was written? I would hate to. I thought about you after I read the first two chapters.
You know,
when she did this, I said, did she even go up?
I had a few
I've had a few. This is my supervisor. Just they will know. Come here, supervisor. They want to know. Come on.
I think I made a mistake. Hello.
No, she's still there.
Hello.
Hi, caller. This is Cheryl. This is Arthur's Lounge. This is Cheryl. Who's calling?
Hey, Cheryl. It's Indiana again.
Oh, Indiana. Thank you.
We're trying to pick Kayla back up again. We're trying to make sure we didn't drop her.
I think I got it.
Okay, Kayla, are you back?
Y'all was having too much fun. I was trying to work.
Yes, we were having a great time.
But I was like, I got to call and join.
Kayla, are you still there?
No.
Kayla, are you still there? I think I got
Indiana
it.
Indiana said we were having too much
fun. We were having fun.
Got giggly.
All right.
Yes, we did.
I'm trying to get... Okay, hold on.
What are people trying to do? Work? Well, this is the author's lounge. They need to be listening and taking notes. Are you kidding me?
And Diana's taking notes, but she's at work. I think Kayla's still at work, too.
No, I think Kayla got off.
Is Kayla off?
I think she was calling.
Okay. Memphis is not ahead of us for an hour, is it? Aren't you
just
central?
Just
the central
1 hour.
Time. 1 hour, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I feel something.
Okay. Oh, but this is funny. This
Hello?
Is
Hello, Kayla, are you back?
Yes, okay, I'm back. Sorry. There's my supervisor trying to talk. She probably hung up on purpose. Did you hang up on purpose, supervisor? Did y'all get a chance to hear her?
No, we did not. And Indiana has called in. Indiana, you still there?
Indiana?
Okay.
No, she should.
Hey, Kayla.
Hold on.
Okay, Indiana, you there?
Okay.
All right. Awesome.
Come here. Yeah, look, I want y'all to talk to my supervisor.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell y'all if she feel like some personal, I put some work stuff in her. Hold on.
This is too funny.
Hello,
supervisor.
Yes.
How did you like Kayla's book?
She did.
Okay.
I put some personal experience in there about some of the people in the office. We can't prove it.
Okay.
But I think she did have some experiences here that she put in the book.
Now the only question we're wondering is, were you the one that stole her lunch?
No, that wasn't me. However,
okay. Well, we'll quote you on that.
There's somebody in here.
Okay.
She said, "Well, somebody in here." Okay.
Mm-hmm. They know who they are.
They know who they are.
Uh-oh. Yes, they do.
Yeah, my supervisor just put a note. I was still at work.
Okay.
And she said, "We can't get through." I said, "I'll put you on the phone. Come here.
Well, she should have been able to get through. I didn't see any other calls trying to come in. Okay.
But I just keep saying this is probably one of the funniest pieces of writing I have read
in
years.
It really is funny. I was laughing at it a lot.
My husband was sleepy the other day, and I shoved a book in his face. He said, "Wait a minute, Linda. Wait. He was trying to watch TV. Something was on TV. I don't know what it was. And he said, "I'll get back to
you."
He was funny.
Would you believe that I keep a copy on my desk and have to go through it, especially the Dirty D in the bathroom? Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's chapter 7. That's the person that leaves the bathroom like.
I know. Yes. A war zone. Yes, a war zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no one has. I mean, I know some people have probably asked you, okay, were you talking about me or whatever, but.
They have. They said, Kayla, such a chapter, especially my old coworkers at UT Medical Group, and that was like when I was working there, and I was like 21 through the age of maybe like 35.
Wow.
So I built a really good relationship, and it was a whole bunch of us. And so when they got the book, they were laughing. They was like, "You remember when such and such got her lunch stole?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Hey, you talking about me?" And I was like, "No, course not." So, and I was like, "Here, let me give you a free book. let me give you a book. Let me give you a T-shirt. Yeah, let me buy your lunch." Yeah.
That is too funny.
So,
Indiana, are you still there?
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, did you have any questions or comments for Kayla?
No, I just like to say that as an author, I put up a disclaimer. Just says, "Warning, anything you say or do may end up in my next book."
That's
so be warned.
I like that.
That way
I
don't have to do anything. When you read the book, if it's about you, if the shoe fits, that's all I can say.
Oh, well.
Kayla, do you think you'll ever do a second part to this, or will you just go on to something fresh and different? What do you think? Like a Monday morning, Monday after Monday,
Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon would be a good one.
Yeah. We'll talk about what people do when they're away from work at happy hour.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
You know what?
Wednesday.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it. There are actually two other projects that I'm working on. One is you know, I ride a motorcycle.
Right.
So that's the book I'm working on now about some ladies who ride and mm-hmm. what happens when we park our bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And the third book is real kind of personal. It's called The Imprint. And it's about what I did was I interviewed a whole bunch of men who are fathers to daughters.
Mm.
And I asked them one question.
Uh-oh.
And the question was, what is it that you want to teach your daughter about life?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, that one, because I had to interview my dad, mm-hmm. because my dad wasn't always in my life all the time.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. so we're really close now,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
My dad left when I was in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
In my teens. So he didn't teach us, me and my sister, a lot about life.
Or, yeah.
This is what a man's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what a man is supposed to do. So that book, it's very personal. So, you know, those two I'm working on. That last book, The Imprint, that's going to take me a minute because I get, it's sensitive to me.
Right.
So I wanted to make the last book, you know, just to really put my feelings aside, because I'm still learning stuff about myself, and I'm 47.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's really good, because the response from the men that I interviewed, y'all, it was just beautiful. They were like, one was like, I want to teach my daughter that thought is not a good word.
Mm-hmm,
you know, that twerking, you know, it was just interesting, mm-hmm. you know, to hear men, you know,
yeah.
they want the best for their daughters.
Right.
You know, I can't speak from I'm not a parent, you know, and I'm not a guy, I'm a female. So
mm-hmm, right.
I couldn't speak from a male point of view. I could just, you know, interview them, ask them what is it, you know, what is it that you want to teach your daughter? What is it that you want her to know?
That's important.
And so
yeah.
that's going to be my third. And then the fourth, then maybe I'll go back and do another, you know, funny book.
Okay. I think all of those would do really awesome ideas, especially the imprint. I would be, that I'm sure that's going to be great, because so many people need to hear a fatherly perspective on the girls,
exactly.
So they were raising
exactly.
their daughters. I think that would be phenomenal.
And well, see, we're enjoying Mike today. We have very few men to come on.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly.
always great when mm-hmm. we need to hear something from a man's
yeah.
point of view.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes, too, guys don't necessarily know
mm-hmm.
what they should be teaching their daughters. You know,
I agree with that.
We live in a
right.
society now
right.
where we have
right.
multi-generational
mm-hmm.
families where there weren't any guys.
Yes,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have guys who grow up and they become
mm-hmm.
men and they want to be good
mm-hmm.
fathers and
mm-hmm.
they don't necessarily know how.
They don't know
that's
how.
True. That's
yeah.
a very good
there
point.
There it is.
Very good
there
point.
It is.
Very good
Mike's
point.
On it. That's it.
The motorcycle book, though, picks my attention because the other day I was actually reading about Bessie Stringfield, who was famous.
You know what? I am going to the ride in Killeen, Texas next month.
Wow. That's cool.
Yes.
The you want to since the four of us apparently at least know who Bessie Stringfield is. Right? Taylor, would you like to share with the rest of the world who Bessie Stringfield is?
Tell them, Kayla.
I did just find out maybe like this year.
Go,
but
no.
still,
you knew right now.
I did know before.
No, let me tell you about Bessie Stringfield.
She's amazing.
Bessie Stringfield.
Yes.
Is a motorcycle lady. Well, she
yes,
was a motorcycle
she was.
Lady.
Yes,
she was the motorcycle queen of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born like in, I think in 1911.
Yeah.
And she was like
yeah.
the first Jamaican African American woman to ride across the United States solo on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she was faced with like a whole bunch of barriers, for, you know. And she would just end up into the, I think, the Motorcycle Hall of Fame and
yeah.
other awards. And,
yeah, she was riding in the 30s.
There. She
the 30s is when she made her name.
Whole
wow.
bunch of motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. I was just so impressed, even. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know about this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. She made her name in the 30s, and which obviously wasn't exactly, you know,
mm-hmm.
a non-racial
right.
time in the
right.
U.S. And she rode everywhere, including a lot in the South. And
mm-hmm.
she said
mm-hmm.
she never
yeah.
feared for her life. And she rode for like 50 years.
A long time.
That's what she did. She
yeah.
just rode
mm-hmm.
around for 50
mm-hmm.
years
mm-hmm.
on a Harley.
That
she,
was her calling.
That
yeah,
was
her
amazing.
Calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the most amazing
yeah.
things I read, especially given the time period.
Yeah.
I'm like, she did what?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she started riding. I'm sorry. She started riding I believe, at the age of 16 years of age.
Okay.
And she, I mean, I've, like, seen the pictures and everything, and she is known for, you know, a female motorcyclist. And
that is something.
She went through a lot, you know, due to her skin color and her being a woman and traveling alone and stuff. And
she couldn't stay in most hotels.
I think she ended up, yeah. She died, I think, when she was 82.
Really?
I think that's right.
Okay.
And she kept riding up until the time of her death.
Really?
Yeah.
So she rode fucking long.
About last few years she didn't ride. I think it was only about 5 years that she didn't ride at the end of her life. Yeah, it was crazy. She's like in her 70s and riding across the United States.
Wow.
Tough cookie.
By that point, there was another lady who was riding with her.
Okay.
But it wasn't because she needed to. It was because this lady said, hey, can I study you, write about you, and everything else? And she says, sure. Okay. So, there's this old woman being followed around. She's got an entourage following her.
That is so cool.
Riding around the U.S.
That is so cool. Oh, my goodness.
How long have you been riding, Kayla? How long have you been riding?
About 5 years. I love it. I was in an all female motorcycle club, but I'm no longer now. I'm independent.
Okay.
And I still ride. and I love it because I get a chance to meet so many different people, ladies who ride and who all have stories and share testimony. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the idea for my book, Sister, is called Sister, and that stands for Stunting in Stilettos Together Always.
Okay.
And it's just about four women that they're all different, but they're friends. Mm-hmm. And so they call each other sister. Mm-hmm. So, and it's about what happens, you know. It's like, at the end of the day, y'all, we just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. We just love to ride motorcycles.
Right.
We fall in love. We fall out of love. Mm-hmm. We get sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we deal with children, we deal with bills, mm-hmm. we deal with trying to hang on to love, and I mean, we deal with health issues mm-hmm. and aging parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just like anybody else, we just like to ride. And I really enjoy it because I'm single, I don't have any kids, and well, I guess you could say mom and dad are my kids, but you know.
Right.
But I really enjoy it, and I enjoy going to the different rides and meeting like the different ladies, and also it kind of helps me to push myself a little bit because I'm so used to riding with people, so I'm learning how to, you know, do a little long distance by myself.
By yourself.
And it's just neat. I love it.
Okay. Well, I enjoy looking at your pictures when you post up your with your motorcycle jacket on and your motorcycle. I think it's so cool. I'm like, I know someone that's a female mm-hmm. motorcyclist.
Well, guess what? I'm going to be next month. Next month, I will be in Dallas. In Killeen, Texas. I'm riding from Memphis. I'm riding with another young lady. She's coming in from Ohio.
Okay.
And we're going to meet here in Memphis. And then we're going to strike out. And we're going to meet some more friends in Fort Worth, Texas. And then we're going to Killeen, Texas, to the Bessie, you know, Stringfield ride. And so I'm going to try to pop up where y'all at.
Please do. I mean, because Dr. Linda lives in Fort Worth, and I live in Arlington right near Fort Worth. So definitely, we'd love to connect.
I have two stepdaughters in Memphis. I know when they drive, it takes about 10 hours. How long will it take you if you're riding from Memphis to Fort Worth? It takes about 10 hours by car.
Well,
8 to 10.
I'm thinking maybe 8 or 9 hours coming mm-hmm. from Memphis, not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're mapping out stops as we
as we
talk. And, you have to stop.
Yeah, you do.
Every 100-something miles to gas up and make sure you're okay. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we're doing that. We're looking out for construction. And mm-hmm. But, hey, that's nothing compared to what these other ladies be doing. They're causing 6 and 7 states and stuff.
Ooh,
so
that's a lot.
I'm just all over here on the other side, but enjoying it all.
God. But you need to definitely let us know. Now, you have my cell number, so you need to definitely let me know when you come.
Yes, I do.
Hook up, do lunch, do something. Because if you're going to be, especially in Fort Worth,
what date is that in June? Are you going to be coming through?
I believe it's on the week of June 21st through June. I'll be there June 22nd through the 25th.
Okay.
Well, I know that dinner going to be in.
Oh, I'm going to find you two. We don't do nothing but take a picture. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to find y'all.
Take a picture on the parking lot.
Definitely. We could be able to do that, especially since you're going to be in Fort Worth, where we can make that happen for certain. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right. Okay. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. So we know June. You mark that down on your calendar, Dr. Linda. So
I am.
Okay. Okay. So anyway, we'll be very excited to see Miss Kayla. Okay. So can you have a particular section of your book that you wanted to read with us today, or do you just want us to just talk about what we liked?
Y'all tell me what y'all like. Because I got the book right here on my desk. So what is it that you, what's one of your favorite chapters?
Okay. I like that thing when you talk about the braggity. That's the person who wants everyone, and I do mean everyone, believe that their life is perfect. That's that person at work that no matter what you do, they just, I've had those too. I had one lady, we could always tell when she wasn't on her meds too. We could tell. Her husband was a pilot, and she would come in every morning, and she would talk about this huge house they had bought in, I think in the colony or somewhere. And he flew for American Airlines, and we would have to stand there at the copy machine because we couldn't get out of line, because if you got out of line, you couldn't make your copies. And she would talk about where he flew and having to clean the house and then having to go upstairs. You know, she wanted you to know it was
upstairs house, yes.
And she had to go upstairs and get that laundry and tell those kids. She was always, but we could tell when she did not have the meds, because when she didn't have the meds, and her name was Linda, too, she hated everybody. This woman drove, beautiful teacher, wonderful teacher, but when she was on her deal that day, you could tell when she was crazy, and we would say, Linda, go take your meds. And she would go, what do you mean? Go take your meds.
But you'd be surprised, though.
She tried not to, if you got to have the pill, take the pill. Just leave the rest of us alone. Oh, she was a hot mess, beautiful teacher, but she had a personality. She was like, she was like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, she was just weird. But she would come in and slaughter all of us with just accolades on herself and the family and the husband flying for America. And we would sit there and grit our teeth and say, just hurry up and get to copy number 20 because I'm next in line.
Oh, my goodness.
But she was, I want you to talk about that braggity. And where the other one? Oh, wait. Where's my
You
other
talked
one?
About the poem before, but you didn't read it.
Oh.
On the air.
Oh, the one about the thief?
Yeah, okay. About the lunch thief.
Let her read about the lunch thief, but there's one more.
Okay, let me recite my poem about the lunch thief.
Okay, go ahead. That was funny.
Hold on. Let me find it in my book right here and recite.
It was chapter 6, Molly. I'm looking at it right
it's
now.
Chapter, show this, it's the glint. It's the glint.
I like the throat clearing. I'm waiting for that.
Read my poem to y'all. For the night before work, you're in the kitchen cooking. You're singing and baking, and you don't care who is looking. You can't wait until tomorrow so you can eat your magnificent dish. At work, you put it in the refrigerator. Your lunch, you don't want to miss. When it's time for lunch, you are in such disbelief. Your lunch is not there. It's been stolen by
oh my God. I like that. I need to post that at work. I need to post that at work.
Copy it and put it on the.
I wrote that from the heart. I wrote that poem from the heart because I would hurt y'all when they stole my lunch. And they did it for like 2 days.
Are
I was
serious?
Like, okay.
They did it for 2 days.
It's getting ridiculous.
Oh my goodness.
We never found out who it was.
It's almost weird.
Some years later, one of my coworkers, Rose Hooks, I don't know if she's listening, but she said, I know who was stealing. I know who was taking our lunch. It was such and such and such. I said, why are you telling me? And she was like, no, because at the time you was young and you probably would have been or something. I was like, yeah. And she said, okay, well, maybe she needed it. I said, well, you know, if she would have needed it, I wouldn't have gave her my lunch, but I would have gave her my lunch.
Something new and something bad.
But one thing I did learn in writing this book, y'all, you don't know what somebody's going through at home.
That's true.
And and when they come to work and they're evil and they're mean and they're starting crap and they snitching, you know,
maybe they just really don't have no power at home, and so when they come to work, they're a different person.
Right.
And that's why I say it's all how you kind of react, and I don't know, that's just one of my thoughts.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean, that's true. When I was writing a lot of cases, book, that's true.
And it's dealing with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so many people. They mm-hmm. different. You know, they unhappy mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. The kids made them mad. They heard some problem didn't come home last night. Mm-hmm. Maybe he got fired in Canada 3 days later. I don't know. And then they come to work. And, I mean, it's just all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And so I just tried to put it all in a book of things. Actually, a lot of the stuff y'all read in the book, mm-hmm. I went through. I've been gossip about it work. Mm-hmm. I remember me and a friend. All I did was I came to work and I was really cute this particular day.
Okay. Okay.
And so I was getting some coffee and this lady said, oh, you must be going on a date with, you know, with your man. And so all I said was, I ain't got no man. And that's all I said. And so they took it as, oh, she got a girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the overanalyzer.
Oh,
everybody,
my God.
Everybody has an overanalyzer at work.
Let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you.
That cranked up some
y'all.
Stuff. I know.
Look, to each his own, mm-hmm. okay? I don't have, if that's what mm-hmm. you like, that's what you like. Mm-hmm. You know, who am I to judge, okay?
Right.
But I like men, okay? So, Yes, I do. Let me open up my window to my desk so in case the yeah, we got some really nice men working this phone. I always like to leave a little lotion and hand sanitizer out there for that. Okay. Well, anyway. So a couple of days went by, and a good friend of mine said, there's a rumor going on about you at work. And I said, what? She said, go back to Monday, and what did you say to this person when you were getting your coffee? I said, she complimented me on what I had and asked me if I was going on a date. And I told her, no. She's like, no, that's not how I went, Kayla. Uh-oh. And I said, I ain't got no man. I said, oh. She said, well, they say you're dating women. And I was like, what? So that was like, you know, a rumor that has started.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
And
like I said, I was like, what? Me? And it was like, yeah, because you said, I ain't got no man. I said, oh! You ain't saying that. But see, what they don't understand, I haven't had my coffee, see?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I understand. That you got to have that coffee in before you get started some days. It's just not going to do any good unless you do it. That is so, so funny.
So really, y'all, a lot of things, and I've been a terrible in work. Some kind of way, a little garden snake got in my house, and I talk about it in the book. Mm-hmm. And I left my patio door open, and he just came on in the house.
Ooh.
And I was washing dishes and looked down on the floor. I said, well, that's a pretty stick. I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Stick, get in there. And he raised his head. And I just remember jumping out the door and running down the street.
Oh, yeah. That is no joke. I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. That is too funny.
So, yeah. So I didn't sleep. So I went to work. Y'all, they said I was hell on wheels at work. And that's why I say sometimes you got to make sure you're not the problem. Because I was too scared to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe you had a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or some children in the house.
That's right.
So sometimes we are the problems at work, and I talk about that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You have to have a balanced viewpoint. We have to look at ourselves in the midst of looking at other people. I mm-hmm. like the part about that Houdini in chapter 14, because I know some people that can relate to that. These tour workers that disappear.
Uh-oh. You got some of those, too?
Oh, yeah. Houdini up. Mm-hmm. I thought that was hilarious. I'm reading it. I'm like,
Houdini right now. Okay. We got one.
Okay.
We got one. I've never seen anything like it. And I was confronted. He was like, which one is me? I was like, you never guess. And he was like, well, I'll be back. And he'd be gone for like 4 hours. And then he'd be back when it's time to clock out. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure it out.
This is funny to who you're trying to figure out. I know some people
like that. Good co-workers, some like that too, Kayla. I've heard people like that. And they never get fired.
They never get fired.
These people never get fired.
But you let me be missing about 30 minutes for a minute. They look at me, where's Cher? Where she's at? I'm like, okay,
I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, that's the reason why Michael has been dispensing.
They'll come knock on the door. Kevin, what you doing? Yeah. I'm nothing. I'm just having from y'all. The meeting, they waiting on you. So, you correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is so true.
Yeah.
Well, Kel, I am truly enjoying this, but our time is winding down a little bit. But before we let you completely go, okay, please let the people out there know how they can get in contact with you and get a copy of your outstanding book.
And tell us about your next literary event. Yeah, we know about your writing event.
Yeah, we know about the writing events.
But tell us about your next literary event.
Okay, well, I can be reached. I'm on social media. Okay. I feel like it's a great platform. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram under Kayla Stevenson. Also, you can get the book. It's on Amazon. You can get it in an ebook, or you can get paperback, and it's under Kayla Stevenson, Monday Mornings, A Cup of Laughter. You can also email me at Kayla Stevenson, that's K-A-L-A, Stevenson, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N, 1970, @gmail.com. And a lot of people usually want to autograph books, so they'll email me and I'll direct them over to my PayPal and I'll get them an autograph book. My next book, like I said, is Sisters. It's my first fictional book. And my next actually, I have another interview.
Okay.
On a show called the Jet Fun Morning Show, which is Thursday. This Thursday, I think.
Awesome.
I might have to kind of check because there was a storm that came through.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday, and it knocked. I think there's like 80,000 customers still without electricity.
Oh, wow.
So I need to check with them. And that's what's going on with me, y'all.
Well, Kayla, it's been a joy, as I knew it would be. Awesome.
I met her on the Queen Sylvie show.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did. Yes,
you know what? Let me give a shout out to the Queen Sylvie show.
Yes. She's the reason why Dr. Linda and I are doing this.
That's what I love about authors and networking.
Yes.
Cheryl just say, hey, check this person out.
Yes.
Then I took Cheryl information and I said, Indiana, check this person out. And mm-hmm. that's what you do. That's what sisterhood is.
That is exactly right.
It's helping.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And because of Queen Sylvia, we have this show. She was the one that actually told us to do this. And we were both like, what?
Well, y'all doing a good job.
Y'all seem to be real busy. Still learning.
It's really neat. Mm-hmm. I love it. Good for everybody.
Yes.
You know, everybody's doing something that they want to do. And Mike, you got a real good voice. You need to get
yes.
a
beautiful. Really
we're talking to him.
Yes,
we're going to be talking after the show, too. We got some more stuff we need to say to him.
He has a voice that's really excellent. He's got a movie star voice, just like Cheryl Grace.
She make a good private eye. She just seemed like she one of those people that like, let me research this for you.
But Kayla, I got one question I want to ask you because I met you on the Queen Sylvia show. Mm-hmm. I was a guest and you were calling in that day.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah, you know what?
Because it comes so natural to you. It flows. It just comes out. It's there. You don't even have to think about it.
I thought about it mm-hmm. and I don't know. Maybe one day I'll probably do like a YouTube blog.
Okay.
Maybe one day. I was thinking about doing a blog and just doing something about Monday mornings and just stuff we go through at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up there on one of my to do.
That would be an awesome idea.
The ability to make people laugh.
I've been trying to get her to do that.
We got two people on you now.
Me and Indiana actually are working on something mm-hmm. probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana, what are we going to call it?
It's going to be called Live Out Loud.
Oh, I like that.
Well, definitely
it's
keep us posted.
It's like a workshop. It's a workshop, but I'm going to be me. Indiana is the serious one, and I'm a silly one.
Okay.
But keep us posted.
I like that.
Yeah, let us know when it hits or whatever. We can at least give you a shout out on the radio and tell people to check it out.
The ability to make people laugh, that's a gift.
That is a gift.
Everybody can't do that.
That is a gift.
Everybody can't do that.
Well, once again, we have to thank you.
I'm serious too, y'all, but, you know, I just like to do a lot of laughing.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a great medicine. But before we get off the show, thank you so much, Kayla, for being our guest on today. Thank you so much, Indiana, for calling in. And we will get you scheduled soon. Okay. Yes, I just don't know when yet, but you do have a date with the Author's Lounge. You know, just figure out when we can get you in as soon as possible. But thank you so much for calling in.
Always
Pardon?
What'd you say, Indiana?
I said, no problem. I'll always be available.
Awesome. But thank you all so much, Kayla. Thank you so much. And Kayla, let us know now. Text me when you come in town next week. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah, we got to meet up somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be inboxing you all when I get the hotel information.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. At least have a hood and take
something.
Some pictures.
Thank you.
And try to get a chance to just talk to y'all.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for being our guest on today. And Mr. Mike, thank you so much for coming in the studio.
It's too much fun.
Yes, we have really enjoyed you. You really were having fun today.
All right, y'all.
I'll catch y'all later.
All right. Okay. Thank you, darling. Have a good one.
Okay.
And Mike, tell us once again how people can reach you before we log off.
Sure. The website for the book, Start Dreaming Again, is startdreamingagainbook.com. Make sure you get the book in there, startdreamingagainbook.com. Or you can email me at author@startdreamingagainbook.com. That's probably the best way to do it.
Awesome. And thank you again for coming.
It's been my pleasure.
And once again, thank you all for logging in today and listening to the Author's Lounge. You can contact us at authorsloungeradio@gmail.com. We're here every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Next week, we will have two ladies that's going to be talking about military life, but not in a good way. And we're talking about some of the military, you know, things ladies go through, from sexual abuse, trauma. And we're going to have Dr. Donna King, and we're going to have author Rhonda Pride. And one's talking from personal experience, and one's talking about from the people they have actually helped that are dealing with that issue. So please tune in next week for that show. And once again, I am Cheryl.
And Dr. Linda.
And we are very excited you tuned in today. Please log in every day. Check out our Facebook page at the Author's Lounge Radio Show. And again, email authorsloungeradio@gmail.com. You can also contact me through my website, www.cherylgrace.com. And that's Cheryl with the S. Dr. Linda, you want to let them know how to contact you?
LindaMubarak.com. Linda with the Y. LYNDA. MUBARAK.com. And I tell everybody it's pronounced Mubarak, like the ex-prime minister of Egypt without the money. But it's LindaMubarak.com. So you can find me there.
Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you again. Well, talk to you again, and hopefully you will listen in to us next Tuesday.